It was the first day of the week. Early in the morning, because it was still dark, when Mary Magdalene made her way to the tomb. And she was surprised, shocked, that the stone in front of the tomb had been rolled away. So Mary went running as fast as she could to tell everybody else what she had witnessed, to tell Simon Peter and the other disciples. Like that wonderful old spiritual says, run, Mary, run. Oh, run, Mary, run. I know the other world is not like this one. And when she told them, Peter and that other disciple and Mary all went running back. They wanted to see what Mary had seen. And that other disciple had the fastest 40-yard dash amongst the group, so he got there first, followed shortly by Peter, and they both went into that dark tomb. When Mary arrived, she just stood outside for a minute, still feeling the gravity of the moment. And then she stepped inside the tomb to see how empty it was. But then she turned around and she saw Jesus outside the tomb, but she didn't recognize him. She thought he was the gardener, which is quite fitting because there is a particular kind of love that only a gardener knows. Mary said, Rabboni, which means teacher. But Jesus was not the kind of teacher barricaded behind his desk just handing out busy work. He was a gardener, teaching by doing, like working with an apprentice alongside of him. In the 1960s, that well-known award-winning poet Gary Snyder once gave the advice, find your place on the planet and dig in. And Elias Amadon took this advice quite literally. He went behind his house and cleared out a space on the ground where he was going to build a garden. He built fences and buried drainage pipes. He prepared the soil and he planted seeds in order to watch them grow. And over the course of a lifetime, building several gardens, he looked back and said, the view from the handle of my shovel helped me love each place I made home. And the sound of my neighbor's shovels working next to me did the same. Just imagine Jesus standing there wearing work gloves and holding a shovel, throwing out the seeds of mercy and forgiveness, justice and hope. That it is a particular kind of love. It's Easter in overalls. And it helps us see the world the way Jesus sees the world. Preparing the soil, planting the seeds, loving our neighbors. It's the reason when Nicodemus, a Pharisee, came to see Jesus in the middle of the night that Jesus saw his neighbor. It is why when the woman in Samaria greeted him at the well, or when the royal official in Capernaum came to Jesus because his son was ill, or when the man who was paralyzed was lowered by his friends through the roof, or when the woman who was accused by sin facing the threat of being stoned, or when the crowd of 5,000 was restless and hungry, that Jesus saw his neighbors. And then he rolled up his sleeves and he started to dig. That is the view of the world from the handle of a shovel. It reminds us that we are all formed from the ground beneath our feet, connected to one another by the enduring grace of God. The community in faith was over there in Corinth was struggling with a smaller view of the world. As the Apostle Paul says, are we beginning to commend ourselves? That some of us say, I belong to Paul, and others of us say, I belong to Apollos. That it's easy for that to happen. Alice McKenzie is professor of preaching at the Perkins School of Theology, and years ago, she remembers going to an annual meeting of the Episcopal Church, where every year at this gathering, they lightheartedly give out the Miscommunication Award of the Year. And that particular year, it went to a church because of some miscommunication at a funeral. That in the Episcopal tradition, the liturgy for a funeral is outlined in the Book of Common Prayer, and the priest has to insert the name of the person into the liturgy that is printed in the bulletin. And one particular minister was presiding over a funeral for a woman named Mary one week, but in the very next week, she had a funeral for a man named Steve. So before the service, she went into the computer and in the bulletin used that find and replace function in the computer, substituting Steve's name for Mary. And everything was going just fine until the congregation turned to the back of the bulletin and started to recite in unison the Apostles' Creed, saying, we believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Steve. That if we are not careful, our faith can become too small, focused only on ourselves. But the view from the handle of the shovel changes all of that, where on Easter we proclaim Christ is risen, and we are called to see the world yet again. We are called to see our neighbors, throwing out the seeds of mercy and grace, forgiveness, hope, and justice in all directions. Because that is what Jesus did his entire life. And our lives are the places where we plant those seeds, where hope is able to grow. It is the reason that a resistant, fearful Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times, hearing the cock crow, ended up being a leader in the church, even sitting down around the table with Gentiles, widening the circle of God's grace. It's why a discounted Mary Magdalene became the very first preacher of the good news on Easter morning. It's why a Pharisee named Nicodemus came to see Jesus under the cloak of the night, but he learned what it meant to be born from above after having grown old. And it's why a Samaritan woman at a well went on to tell everyone in her village about the one who told her the truth about life. That Easter changes how we see ourselves and others. Now, I know in the face of a global pandemic that standing here with a shovel and a few seeds in hand does not seem like very much. But Easter calls us to see again the power that is found in the seed of grace. There's that wonderful old story, Old Turtle and the Broken Truth, where Douglas Wood says that once upon a time, the truth fell from the sky, high above us from the stars. That it fell so fast and so hard that even though truth is something that endures, that lasts, that it fell with such speed and made such an impact that it broke into pieces. But then people started to find pieces of the truth and were working to piece them together, that they found these words, "You are loved." And it was such a beautiful truth. People started to share it with others. It was whispered in the valleys. It was shouted from the mountaintops. It was so beautiful that it never crossed anybody's mind that perhaps it was only half the truth. That is, until Old Turtle, who had lived long enough to know what had happened to the truth when it fell from the skies, finally said, "This is not the whole story." That the whole truth is that you are loved, and so are they. That is the view from the handle of the shovel that we see Jesus holding outside of that empty tomb on Easter morning. It is the unhindered, unending love of God. And it's the reason that Mary went running as fast as she could to tell everyone. And it calls us back down to earth, where we roll up our sleeves and we dig in, throwing out the seeds of God's grace. Because Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen.